Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I am Eric Garthy, and we are in class with David. Lessons on Developing Leaders. In this session, we'll be looking at 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 11, The Heart of a Shepherd. In this series, we won't be looking at David the king and his activities ruling Israel. Instead, we'll be looking at David, the future king, from that moment that he was anointed by the priest and judge Samuel to succeed King Saul, to the moment when the transition is made and he becomes King David. So we're going to look at that, him moving toward becoming the king. 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 11 reads, "And Samuel said to Jesse, Are all the young men here? And then he said, There remains yet the youngest, and there he is, keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, Send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here. The boy was minding his father's sheep in the wilderness, a picture of solitude. Why did God choose David? Well, Acts chapter 13 and verse 22 reads, And when he had removed him, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. This is the David we know. He responded to God when the prophet Nathan confronted his sin. He responded to God when he was just a shepherd boy. Let's read one of his psalms, a very well-known psalm, Psalm 23. Let's read that, verses 1 through 6. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." That's dependence on the Heavenly Father. That's no concern for any want, trusting that God will take care and provide for every need that there is. What are the skills of a shepherd? Well, it's the ability to know his sheep intimately. It's the ability to pasture his sheep properly. The ability to handle the straying nature of the sheep. The ability to provide for their needs. The ability to defend them against enemies. And the ability to care for them compassionately. This was David's view of God. And he became that kind of shepherd himself. Is this necessary in a king? Well, absolutely it is. And the imagery of this psalm is of a shepherd and his sheep. But the reality is of the Lord and his disciples. It's about actions and responses. First, it's the action of feeding and the response of love. Verse 2, He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. The image of green pastures speaks of scriptural truth. always fresh, always rich, and always available. There's no fear of biting the bare ground where the grass is long enough to lie down in. We are to rest in God's promises and receive His truth. What are still waters? Well, they are the Holy Spirit's ministry. He cleanses, refreshes, teaches, cherishes. He loves peace. It's quiet and flows through us. It is the contrast of raging waves of strife versus peaceful streams of love. Second is the action of ruling and the response of obeying. Verse 3, He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He restores my soul. That's a sorrow-filled soul, He revives. A sinful soul, He sanctifies. A weak soul, He strengthens. So He leads me in the paths of righteousness. This is the obedience of the believer. No picking and choosing among God's commands, but yielding to them all. We are saved from wrath by His grace. And why? For His name's sake. It is an honor to our great shepherd that we be holy, and is a reproach when we're not. Third, there's the action of guiding and the response of following. Verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me, Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. Pay attention here to the key words and concepts. Walk. It pictures the steady advance of a person who knows the road, perceives its end, and determines to follow it, and feels safe in that road. It's one who is calm and composed. Why? Well, because he's not walking in but through, like a dark tunnel leading to the light of eternity. Death is not the house. It's only the front porch. Interesting is the use of the word valley. You see, the mountaintop is where the storm rages, but in the valley, it's a place of rest. The last days of a believer are the most peaceful. No reason to be afraid of death. There's no reason to be afraid of death if death leads to life. Besides, You are with me. A child feels safe in a parent's care. Perfect comfort. Absolute security. What is the picture of comfort? Well, the rod. It demonstrates God's sovereignty. And the staff shows His care. And then fourth is the action of protecting and the response of trust. Verse 5, You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Christians will have enemies. We wouldn't be like Jesus if we didn't. In fact, James chapter 4 and verse 4 says, Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Look at the image of calm bravery, like Joshua at the plains of Jericho, celebrating Passover in the presence of their enemy, right there before they attacked Jericho. They celebrated the Passover for the first time since they first since they left Egypt. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Wow. Think about that. A soldier usually eats in haste and runs. But here, nothing is hurried. There's no confusion and no disturbance. The enemy's at the door while the believer eats in peace. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. What is this telling us? A fresh anointing for each day's duties. We need that. Every Christian is a priest, but he can't function without God's anointing. The priest without oil is not fit to serve. A cup must be full to overflowing, or it won't spill into the lives of others. And when you look at it, verses 1 and verse 6 are like bookends of the Christian life. Verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's my and your total provider in this Christian walk. And then verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Goodness supplies our needs. Mercy blots out our sins. The Lord is there from the beginning to the end of this Christian walk. This is the life of eternal hope. Let me ask you, do you respond as David demonstrates? Do you respond to his active lordship in your life? You think about that, and you have a great day.